This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We are back for another live session, alhamdulillah. If this is your first time joining us, it's good to have you. And if you're listening to this recording later, it's good to have you here as well listening. I do this every Sunday. The timing is usually around this time. Sometimes there's a little bit of a shift, but it is around this time that I've been trying to do a regular live session. And we have different topics, and like we have a new topic for today. If you're joining us live, I would love to hear where you're joining us from. It's always nice to see where people are listening and watching from. So in the chat, in the YouTube chat, make sure to put your city, country, whatever you want. I see we have someone joining us from Toronto. MashaAllah. Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's good to have you here with us live. Alhamdulillah. So make sure to drop in the comments. Let me know where you're joining us from. And also, if you have any questions or any feedback, anything you want to add to the discussion, please leave it in the comments. I do try to keep my eye on the comments in these live sessions. Sa'ad Siddiqi, wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Sa'ad, first of all, I want to say, beautiful name, alhamdulillah. From the UK, from Birmingham, mashallah. Sister Shazana Chaudhry from France, good to have you here as well, alhamdulillah. We usually have a lot of people from Europe, so that's nice, alhamdulillah. And we have North America here as well, alhamdulillah. Today's session should be really fun, I believe, inshallah. Today's session really came from a post, one of the short videos that I did. And I usually do these YouTube shorts that are under a minute. I post it on YouTube and I post it on my Instagram as well. And what's interesting is, subhanAllah, YouTube, I think, gets a bad rap sometimes. People say, people in the comments, YouTube, you know, YouTube comments always crazy and this and that, whatever. I found this time Instagram, there was just a lot of comments to the point where, you know, as you know, if you've seen one of my previous live sessions, I don't really, you know, get into the comments, but I do have people who do inform me, you know, comments are popping. I don't know. There's a lot going on in the comments, and there seemed to be some controversy or some debate regarding my previous video. And, you know, I don't like to get into the comments and, you know, have arguments and things like that. I'd rather do it face to face. I'd rather do it in a live session. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to go over this topic, and then I'm actually copied some of the comments that some people posted on that video. So I'll address those comments directly. And Saad, yeah, if you have any questions, you can post them here in the chat as well. And I can, you know, I'll keep my eye out on the discussion as we go. So today's topic, what you should not wear to the masjid. Now, I guess maybe a better way to put this would be what you should wear to the masjid. And really, if you go back to that short video I did, basically that point of that video was to say that we should wear nice clothes to the masjid. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us, that we look our best, we look nice when we go to the masjid, as Allah says in Surah Al-A'raf, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ, take your adornment at every masjid, وَكُلُوا وَشْرَبُوا, and eat and drink, وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا, and do not be excessive, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ, indeed he does not like those who are excessive, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse teaches us, so one of the things that we learn is that the masjid is a place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worshipped. We are going there for worship. So we should wear appropriate and nice clothing. And also, I mentioned this in that short video, that how we dress is an indication of how we feel about where we are or where we're going. So if someone's going to a wedding, they're going to wear nice clothes because to them it's an important event. They want to look their nicest. If they're going to meet somebody whom they really like, someone who they respect, then they're going to wear respectable clothes. That's just, you know, the nature of us as human beings. So when we are standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for worship, we also want to be in the best possible form that we can. And we have this reiterated specifically, you know, I spoke about in that video, I spoke about Jum'ah, that during the day of Jum'ah, we should make an extra effort. You know, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he instructed us to make ghusl on the day of Jum'ah and take a bath on the day of Jum'ah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam instructed us to use the siwak, you know, like clean our teeth, make sure our breath smells nice, to wear perfume, to smell nice, to the best of our ability. And this is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. And we have other narrations as well, that we should look nice going to the masjid, specifically on Friday, you know, because that is a special day for us. The day of Friday is indeed a blessed day once a week. And for many Muslims, obviously this depends on where you live, but, you know, a lot of Muslims, the only time they go to the masjid, for whatever reason, right, is on the day of Friday. So whether someone goes for the regular five prayers or not, many Muslims, at least they will make an effort to go on Friday, which is commendable, alhamdulillah. So the point of that video was to encourage us to really make an effort. And I think one of the issues is that, you know, coming out of quarantine and, you know, the pandemic, a lot of people are, we just spent a lot of time at home. And even like we'll attend classes online and we'll listen to lectures online. And, you know, at home, we're just sitting in whatever, especially we don't have our camera on. You know, we're used to just lounging at home. And now that we're starting to go back to the masjid, maybe some of that has carried over, right? Where we're like, you know, I'm just chilling. Let me just go chill in the masjid. So that really is the point of what I was saying. But I think a lot of people got it. I think a lot of people got that point. But there was also some people who kind of maybe took it in a different way, you know. And so what I want to do right now is I'm going to actually read, I have the comments here in front of me. I'm going to read some of the comments that stood out, at least some of the comments that were made on that video on Instagram. So if you're joining us from Instagram, you can go check out, you know, the post on Instagram, or you maybe have seen these. Saad, I'm going to get to your question, inshallah. He said, is it bad etiquette, low effort to wear t-shirts in the masjid? I'm going to get to that. This is gonna come up. So thank you so much for asking that question. So one of the things that was mentioned, I'm not going to mention the commenter's name, even though, you know, technically, if someone made a comment publicly, they should take responsibility for their comment publicly as well. So, you know, I would be within my rights to say the commenter's name publicly, but I'm not going to do that, right? Because when you say something publicly, like khalas, that's a responsibility you take in a public fashion. Anyway, I'm not going to say the names or the online names of people who made these comments. But one person said a quote: "So homeless people can't come? ? Or those who are less fortunate?" So I guess there was some issue with, you know, like, okay, if we're supposed to wear nice clothes, and what about the homeless? And what about those who don't have nice clothes? And the answer to that should be quite obvious, but I guess it's not obvious for some people. And that is that obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not expect from us to do something that we're unable to do, right? Allah says, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ. Have the taqwa of Allah to the best of your ability. Have the piety of Allah to the best of your ability, meaning we can only do what we're capable of. So if we don't have, quote unquote, nice clothes, then we wear what we have. Or another way to look at this is we would say, wear the best from what you have. Whatever you have, pick the best of it and wear that to the masjid, or wear that to Jum'ah. And this is something, you know, even the companions, radiallahu anhum, some of them were wealthy. Many of them were not wealthy. Many of them did not have, quote unquote, nice clothes or expensive clothes or fancy clothes, but they wore the best of what they had. We have that incident, for example, of Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anh. This is mentioned, I believe, in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim as well, in which Jabir radiallahu anh, he says that he was traveling with the Prophet ﷺ. They were out on a journey, and one night he went to go visit the Prophet ﷺ, and he saw that the Prophet ﷺ was praying. And so Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu anh, he went and he joined the prayer with the Prophet ﷺ. And the Prophet after the prayer, the Prophet asked him about the garment that he's wearing. And Jabir bin Abdullah radiallahu an, he said, when the Prophet said, "What are you wearing? Like, what is this?" He said, "Oh, Messenger of Allah, is it too small?" Now, what's happening here, by the way, just to give you some commentary on what's happening so far, Jabir bin Abdullah didn't have much to wear. And as a matter of fact, Jabir bin Abdullah was so poor that he only had one garment. Now, a dress that was very common at the time of the Prophet ﷺ was two sheets of cloth, right? That's it. One sheet of cloth was wrapped around the bottom portion of the body, which is known as the izar. And then another sheet of cloth was wrapped on the top portion of the body, right? What is known as a rida. So it's wrapped on top. So that's normally what many people wore, you know. And if you want to visualize that, think of what men wear during Hajj and Umrah, the ihram. The ihram is two pieces of cloth, one wrapped around the bottom portion of the body, one wrapped over the top portion of the body. But Jabir bin Abdullah, he only had one, right? He only had one piece of cloth, so he didn't have two. So the way that Jabir bin Abdullah had it wrapped, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, like, what is this wrapping that I see? And then Jabir bin Abdullah, he said, you know, is it too small? And then the Prophet ﷺ, he replied, he said, look, if it is large enough, then you should wrap it around your entire body. If it is too small, then at least put it around your waist. And what that means is if it is long enough or big enough that you can wrap it around the top of your body and it will cover your whole body, then you should do that. But if it's not long enough or big enough to cover your whole body, at least cover the lower portion of your body, your private parts and your awrah. Right? So at least cover that. And the scholars derived fiqh from this, by the way. There are rulings. And one of the issues that comes from this hadith is it required for men to cover their shoulders when praying? Like, is the prayer acceptable if the shoulders are naked? So if you can think of like a tank top or a vest or basketball jersey, right? Where, you know, the shoulders are uncovered. So the scholars discuss, like, is it permissible to pray in that way? And, you know, long story short, inshallah ta'ala, the prayer is acceptable if the shoulders are uncovered. But it is if a person has the ability to cover their shoulders, then they should cover it. So our scholars say that it is makruh, it is disliked to pray with our shoulders uncovered, even though the prayer is acceptable, inshallah ta'ala. But that is derived from this hadith, right? So Jabir bin Abdullah didn't have enough to cover, right, all of it. So the Prophet said, at least tie it around the bottom, cover your awrah. Point being, you do as much as you can. You know, we do as much as we can. So that should be obvious, right? Obviously, we don't discriminate in our masajid based off of a person's social status or how much, or how wealthy they are or how poor they are or anything like that. Obviously, you know, no one should be standing at the masjid and say, you know, your clothes aren't nice enough to wear to the masjid. And And I'll get to this in another comment as well. So that's the first issue. The right path. Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh from Melbourne, Australia. Thank you for joining this live discussion. So that's one of the comments. Hopefully that's clear. If you have any questions regarding that issue, let me know in the comments, inshallah. All right. Bismillah. So another comment, someone said, and like I said, I'm not going to say their name. They said zina could be different for different people. And I guess they're referring to, as Allah says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدِ, take your zina, your adornment, at every masjid. And so this commenter, they said zina could be different for different people. And I absolutely agree. There are certain requirements of the sharia. There are certain requirements of Islam when it comes to our dress. Among them, for example, the awrah should be covered. We should not imitate the clothing of the opposite gender. We should not wear clothing that is specific to a certain religion, things like that. But those guidelines, once they are met, what is considered nice clothing and not nice clothing, what is considered beautification, it can differ from one culture to another culture. And that is absolutely correct. So, you know, my video was called Don't Wear Pajamas to the Masjid, right? Or you shouldn't wear pajamas to the masjid, something like that. What is considered pajamas from one culture to another culture can be different, and that's absolutely true. So the point is, whatever is considered pajamas in your culture, or I should say, whatever is considered sleeping clothes in your culture, then we shouldn't wear that to the masjid. We should wear nice clothes, right? Clothes that are considered nice, whatever that is in your culture, right? Wherever you live, you know, it can look different from one culture to another culture, what is considered better or nicer clothing. So absolutely, I agree with that. The point is, whatever is considered low effort clothing, that should not be worn, or we should try our best not to wear that to the masjid. Obviously, the point is to make an effort regarding the clothes that we wear to the masjid. I see we have some questions here. I see them. I noted them. I'm going to answer them, inshallah, once I get through these pre-submitted comments. I should say, not really questions. They were more of comments. Statements were being made. They weren't really questions. So yeah. Yeah, I mean, what is considered good in terms, what is considered beautification can differ from one culture to another culture. Absolutely. And I usually, you know, when I'm giving advice to khatibs, right? You know, if we're talking about you should wear nice clothes when attending the Jumu'ah khutbah, then it's even more important that the person who is delivering the Jumu'ah khutbah, the khatib, wears nice clothes. It's even more important for them because they're the imam, obviously. They should make an effort. And when I'm talking to, especially young people who are starting to give khutbahs and you know, starting to speak in the masjid, I always say, look, you got to dress nice, because when people, we are visual people, right? We make our impression, the first impression we get is from a visual standpoint. So if you're addressing a community, you're addressing people who are coming to pray, before you open your mouth, they're going to look at what you're wearing and they're going to make some judgments about you. Fair or not, that's another issue. But we all make judgments, subhanAllah, based off of what we see, right? So you want to have a good impression. We want to wear nice clothes when we're delivering the Jumu'ah khutbah. Now, whether you wear a suit and tie, or you wear a thobe, or you wear a shalwar qamiz, or you wear whatever, I don't care. Whatever is considered nice to you and to the society you live in, to the culture you live in, wear that. In some cultures, it may be wearing a crisp white thobe. That may be considered, you know, nice clothes. In another culture, maybe a suit and tie or whatever, or a button-up shirt, whatever it is, I don't really care about that, but the effort should be made in terms of wearing something which is considered nice. So that is the point. Obviously, once again, to the previous comment, whatever is within our ability, though. So we're not saying, you have to wear something that you're not able to wear. Obviously, if a person can't afford something that is considered nice, then obviously that's not something that is required of them. Now, the next comment is probably my favorite comment because I get this a lot. Anytime something like this gets posted, I'm not going to say the brother's name. I believe it's a brother, Allahu A'lam. They said the following. This is very interesting. It's a very interesting comment, subhanAllah. They said, so they started the comment with or you could stop judging people. You don't know their situation personally, and that might be the only long pair of pants they own. They could be homeless for all we know. At least they're coming to the masjid to pray and making an effort. I get your point of view, but I just don't agree with it. Fair enough. Talk about turning off your cell phones instead. End quote. Now, that's the whole statement. There's a lot to unpack here. We'll start with the issue of judging people. Now, before we move any further, I want to say that I've given a whole talk on the issue of judging people. The talk is called Only God Can Judge Me. It's on my YouTube channel. You can go check it out right now. What I'll do is I'll put a link in this video when it gets uploaded later on after the live session, inshallah. So you can click the link. I don't know if it's on the right or left, but it's up here somewhere. I'll put a link. You can go watch that video. I go over in detail the issue of judging people. But I will mention this. What people consider judging or not, we need to clarify, okay? So let me give you an example that can help clarify this issue. Let's take the issue of smoking, right? Smoking cigarettes. Now, Islamically, smoking cigarettes is haram. It is impermissible for various reasons. But among them is, I just saw the comment about the fedora. I'll get to that as well, inshallah. Anyway, smoking is considered haram, right? The vast majority of scholars, because it is detrimental to our health, it is severely harmful to our health, it is impermissible to smoke cigarettes. If I were to say, oh believers, oh Muslims, it is haram to smoke cigarettes, and then a person says, no, you need to stop judging people, because you know what, maybe the person is a great Muslim, but they have this one weakness, so on and so forth. So mentioning a ruling, mentioning a hukam, a ruling, mentioning what is, for example, beloved to Allah or disliked to Allah or hated by Allah is not judging, because it is said you're simply conveying the message of Islam. You're conveying what is good and what is not good in Islam. However, if I were to go to an individual who is smoking a cigarette and I say to him, hey, you're a bad person. You're a bad Muslim. And you know what? You should fear Allah and so on and so forth. And this smoking, and I attack them personally, then that is a different matter. Because fair enough, like the person may be a great Muslim, but this is one of their weaknesses. Maybe they have a smoking addiction. Maybe they're trying to quit. Maybe. So many reasons. That is not for me to judge their piety. Their level of taqwa is not for me to judge. That's between them and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the point is, judgment takes place on an individual basis, right? If I were to go up to an individual and say, you're a bad Muslim for X, Y, and Z reasons. You're a bad person for this reason and that reason. Absolutely, that would be judgment. But to mention the ruling of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to say that in Islam, this is good or this is bad, then that's not judgment. As a matter of fact, that is what is known as al-amr bil-ma'roof wa nahi 'anil munkar. To enjoin the good, to clarify the good, to show people the good, and to discourage the bad. And that's actually one of the defining characteristics of our nation, of our ummah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat lin-nas." You are the best nations that Allah brought about for mankind. Why? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the first reason, "Ta'muruna bil-ma'ruf wa tanhawna 'anil munkar." Why are we the best nation? Because you enjoin, you encourage the good, and you forbid or you discourage evil. Meaning we stand up for that which is right and we stand against that which is wrong. And then Allah says, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, and you believe in Allah. Obviously, belief in Allah comes first, but our scholars mention here that one of the reasons Allah mentioned enjoining the good and forbidding the evil first is to show its importance. And even we know, as the Prophet ﷺ told us, that one of the ways the nations before us went astray is they stopped encouraging people to do good and they stopped discouraging people from doing bad, right? Basically, it's like, you know, you practice your deen, I practice my deen. I'm not going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. You know, we don't stand up for that which is right. We don't tell people that which is right. And that is problematic, right? When we stop doing that. But as I said, there is a difference between going up to somebody individually. Now, why do people feel like they're being judged? I suspect that sometimes a person may see a general post online, right? So like I did, I posted a general thing. Hey, you know what? We should stop wearing pajamas to the masjid. Now, a person may have done that themselves, and so they may feel personally attacked. So maybe a person is in the habit of wearing pajamas to the masjid, or they've worn pajamas to the masjid before, and then they come across my video and they feel like I'm personally attacking them, that I'm saying you're a bad Muslim because you wear pajamas to the masjid. The reality is, homie, I don't know you. I've never talked to you. I've never met you. I don't know your name. And I'm not talking about you because I don't know you. I'm giving a general piece of advice, right? And so it's not personal. It's not personal to you. It's not personal to anybody. And even subhanAllah, the advice that we give, any public speaker, any da'i, any caller towards good, any scholar, they give to everybody, including themselves. And so when I give advice, or when I, you know, say we should do this and we shouldn't do that, I always try to keep in mind that the first person I'm speaking to is myself, right? It first and foremost is a reminder for myself. Right. So if there's anybody who I'm judging myself first, because I'm not judging anybody else because I don't really know anybody. You know, I don't know the people who are watching this and reading this. If I were to send this video to one person and say, hey, man, I made a video for you. You better watch this video because it's for you. Then absolutely the person can say, hey, man, stop judging me. Right. Like, why are you after me? You know, I have my reasons, whatever it may be. But in a general sense, absolutely, that is not considered judgment, right? I hope that's clear. But like I said, if you want more information on the issue of judgment or judging people, then I gave a whole talk on this issue. You can go check it out. It's called Only God Can Judge Me. And then I'll take one more question. And I think that was part of. Oh, by the way, this person said instead of talking about what you should wear to the masjid, you should talk about turning your cell phones off instead. I would say, isn't that, according to your definition of judgment, isn't that judgment as well? Right? If I say, you know what, you should turn your cell phones off in the masjid, a person could say, hey, 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 you don't know their situation. Maybe they're a doctor, maybe they're a surgeon, and maybe they're receiving a phone call to come perform emergency surgery. Maybe it's an emergency phone call. That's why they have their phone on. Allahu alam, right? So if we're gonna say that's judgment, then telling people to turn off their cell phones will be judgment as well. But once again, in my opinion, neither of those would be judgment. Saying, you know, we should turn our phones off, or saying we should wear nice clothes, none of that is judgment, because it's not directed towards an individual, right? And it's, we're not making a judgment about an individual's faith. A person can have their cell phone on in the masjid and be the best believer, be an amazing Muslim. A person can commit a sin, any sin, right, and still be a good Muslim. We don't know what their situation is. We don't know. I mean, we don't make a judgment on an individual based off of a sin, right? In the end of the day, our sins are something that Allah will judge us for. Our responsibility is to enjoin the good, right? Help each other do that which is good, and discourage people from doing that which is bad. And that is known as, we can call it nasiha, advice, if it's given on an individual level, or it can be in a general sense, or an amr bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar. So hope that's clear. Another commenter on Instagram said, there are so many struggles that people have that work as barriers for them to go to the masjid. And here you are unintentionally creating another one for them. On top of that, you even quoted an ayah to support your point. I don't know much of seerah, but I doubt Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would tell the masses to not come to the masjid in certain types of clothing. Allah al-musta'an. This is a very interesting comment as well. Number one, I wasn't telling anybody to not come to the masjid. And if you got from my thing that, hey, you know what, you don't come to masjid, that's not what I was saying at all. I was talking about what is encouraged, what we should encourage each other to do, what is preferred when coming to the masjid. And there are certain cases, by the way, this person mentioned, there would be cases where the Prophet would stop people from coming to the masjid. For example, you know, there are certain requirements when it comes to our clothing. So if somebody were to come to the masjid, for example, with their awra uncovered, naked, then obviously we would say, no, don't enter the masjid like this, cover your... And as a matter of fact, we know that the mushrikun at the time of the Prophet, before the message of Islam came, the mushrikun would make tawaf around the Kaaba naked. The women would have their chest uncovered. May Allah protect us, right? And some scholars say this is one of the reasons of revelation of the verse that I quoted, خُدُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ, take your adornment at every masjid, because some of the mushrikun, they would make tawaf naked, right? So that obviously would say, no, you can't come to the masjid, you can't be completely naked. As for what is considered a barrier or not, if I was standing at the door of the masjid and I was stopping people from coming in because they're wearing pajamas, your point, whoever this is, your point would be absolutely valid. But that is not what I'm doing. And actually, I don't encourage anybody to do that. And it's very interesting that when people hear these reminders, they think of other people rather than themselves. These reminders are not meant for you to go stand and be the haram police and go stand and tell other people what to do and what not to do. These reminders are supposed to be for ourselves. That can we make any improvements for ourselves? So when we hear something, we look at ourselves rather than looking at other people. Absolutely, we want to be, and I agree, we should not create barriers for people from coming to the masjid. But at the same time, we should encourage people with that which is beloved to Allah, that which is like to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's it. So those are some of the comments. I know there was a lot of comments, but those are some of the comments that I wanted to address and clarify some of these issues. As I said, today's live session is going to be a fun one. Alhamdulillah. Let me now address some of the questions and comments we have in the live session here. I'm just going to scroll up a little bit. I know people have been asking a few questions. Bismillah. Please go through the differences for men and women. Okay. That is a long discussion, subhanAllah, the difference in clothing between men and women. Perhaps in another live session, or perhaps in another, actually teach a whole class on the awrah for women and the awrah for men. But there is a difference. The awrah of women is different than the awrah of men. That's a little bit of a longer topic. I'm not sure if I have really the time to cover it here, but there are differences in terms of the awrah of men and the awrah of women. So another person, Sa'ad, said, is it bad etiquette to wear t-shirts in the masjid? Look, it really depends, right? In a certain culture, wearing a t-shirt may be considered normal. It may be considered, regular clothing. And once again, the other thing, subhanAllah, this question reminded me here. We're not talking about, especially when we talk about pajamas, we talk about t-shirts, we talk about things like that. We're not talking about halal and haram here. We're not saying it's haram to do this stuff. We're saying what is recommended, what is better. So we need to keep that in mind as well. Once the basic conditions of dress are met, the awrah is covered and so on and so forth, then at that point, we are no longer in the halal and haram category. We are in the category of, is this something recommended, or is this something which is discouraged, or is this something which is allowed? So that is something to keep in mind. Wearing a t-shirt, once again, I have worn t-shirts to the masjid all the time. One of the things I'll remind myself and remind all of you, just when it comes to t-shirts, be careful that sometimes the t-shirt can be short, and when you go into ruku' or sujood, sometimes the awrah can get uncovered. So just make sure that t-shirt doesn't uncover our awrah, our private parts, especially from the back. So just keep that in mind. I would encourage that at least on Jum'ah, that there should be maybe a little bit of a higher effort than a t-shirt. Allahu alam, right? There may be like a really nice fancy t-shirt. That's not for me to decide. In the end of the day, these are decisions that we have to make for ourselves. But good question. In general, can you wear clothing with... when you wear trousers, jeans, and go into sujood, it can be tight around the rear area and can be cons? Okay, so this is an issue of tight clothing. Yes, so our awrah should not, our clothing should not be so tight that the shape of our awrah, our private area, private parts, is exposed. So that is something we do need to be careful of. Now, we also need to keep in mind that depending on the shape of one's body, no matter how loose clothing you wear, some shape will be seen, right? So somebody, for example, who is maybe a little bit more heavy set, they can wear loose clothing and still you can see the shape of their body, right? So there's certain amount that there's nothing that we can do about, right? But yes, absolutely, it shouldn't be so tight that the shape of the awrah is exposed. In general, especially for salah, maybe wear a longer shirt or something like that that would cover the private parts of the private area, so that area is not too tight regarding our trousers or our jeans or whatever it may be. Wallahu alam. In general, can you wear, so Nads, I guess that's maybe a nickname or just an online name, says, in general, can you wear clothes with images? What about children's clothing that has cartoon images? So in general, certain types of images are prohibited for us to wear and hang on our walls as well. That should not be done. Now, there's difference amongst the scholars over what is considered an image, what exactly that would be considered that type of image that cannot be worn. First of all, when it comes to images of living things, we should be careful. Second of all, the more realistic the image, the more careful we need to be. So regarding certain things like animation or cartoons or simplistic images, it becomes less of a serious matter with those. So a very clear example of that is like emojis, right? So an emoji, is that considered an image or not? I personally do not consider an emoji to be an image because it's a very simplistic representation of like a human face, right? So that is something to keep in mind, that living things, and even our scholars mentioned certain things that if it is an image of a living being, then certain things would indicate that it doesn't hold life. So for example, if the eyes are taken out, or if the eyes are missing, or for example, if the head is separated from the body, which I know sounds really morbid, sounds weird to say, but something like that, then it would not contain life, then that is something that would be okay. That would not come under the ruling of images. But there's more detail to this. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Skinny jeans, slim fit jeans. These are all interesting questions. You know, I teach a whole class on this issue, you know, of covering the awrah. And I really hope that you can attend this class one day, inshallah ta'ala, because I go into detail regarding a lot of these issues. But I will just say this here in this live session, that we should make an effort from our end to wear looser clothing, especially in our, what is known as the awrah al-mughallaba, the severe part of the awrah, which is the private parts for men, right? And obviously the private parts for women as well. That especially in those areas, we should make an effort to wear a little bit looser clothing, especially when it comes to our prayer. And look, that being said, there's certain, depending on your body type and so on and so forth, you know, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, have the taqwa of Allah to the best of your ability. Just try as much as you can to be modest in your clothing. Allahu a'lam. What about Fajr prayer at home? Do we need to change from our sleepwear? No. So, just to clarify, even in the masjid, if you were to wear your sleepwear, your prayer is acceptable, inshallah, as long as the other conditions are met of clothing. Your prayer is fine. We're talking about what is recommended, what is better. So even if you were to show up in your pajamas at the masjid, it's not like your prayer is invalid or you're doing anything haram. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about what is encouraged, right? So so when it comes to that, what we're talking about, when I said sleepwear or pajamas, we're talking about the masjid, right? Allah says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ, take your adornment at every masjid. So some of our scholars mentioned that it is more lax when it comes to when we're praying at home. We still shouldn't wear like bad clothes or anything like that, or, you know, dirty clothes and things like that. This issue is more lax when it comes to, obviously, in our homes versus going to the masjid. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. What is your view of wearing a fedora inside or outside the masjid? Then I see the laughing face after that. My personal opinion on fedoras, now this has nothing to do with Islam. This is my personal preference. I'm not a fan of fedoras. I'll be honest with you. I'm not really feeling the fedora. I don't think everybody can pull off the fedora. You might be somebody who can pull off a fedora. If you're someone like that, more power to you. My opinion, most people probably can't pull off a fedora. Allahu alam. Alhamdulillah. Okay, I see we have a few other questions. I'd like to hear some comments as well. Let me hear some comments on what you thought about today's topic, inshallah. Another question says, if we eat a meal at a restaurant which contains garlic and onions, and the time for salah at the masjid comes, and we can't brush our teeth, what should we do? So we should try our best to at least rinse our mouth, maybe chew some gum, some mint gum or something like that, to get that smell out of our mouths. And usually, you know, what the hadith, by the way, of the Prophet ﷺ is talking about is raw onions and raw garlic, which have a much more pungent, or I should say, a stronger smell. So if it's cooked garlic and cooked onions, usually the smell is tamer, right? So that's something to keep in mind as well. But we should at least make an effort to, as I said, rinse your mouth or maybe chew some gum or do something to try and get rid of that smell. Okay, someone said, slightly unrelated, hope that's okay. I've heard some students of knowledge say earrings aren't haram for men, not resembling women. But do you know of any scholar who has that view? I have a better idea for you. How about we make that a live session? Is it permissible for men to wear earrings? And I say that because this leads to a much broader issue, a bigger issue in our deen, and that is imitation of the opposite gender. So one of the conditions of Islamic clothing, Islamically correct dress, is that we are not allowed to imitate the opposite gender in our clothing. Now, that being said, we need to understand what that means. There's much more detail to that. It's not as simple as most people think. And so this issue of wearing earrings, a lot of times the scholars who forbid men from wearing earrings, one of the reasons that they give is it imitates women, therefore men cannot wear it. That is something that needs to be analyzed. Perhaps we will do a live session on that. I think that would be pretty fun. maybe next week, maybe the week after. We'll see. That's a very good idea for the next live session. Jazakallah khair for giving that or putting that question or comment. So we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it, inshallah. I think that's a good thing. For women whose hair is slightly showing during prayers, does that nullify their prayer? Okay, so it depends. It really depends. It depends on if a person knowingly uncovers their awrah and willingly uncovers their awrah. So a woman who knows that their hair is part of their awrah and they know that their awrah is uncovered and then they pray in that way, it is possible that their prayer could be invalid. Okay, now keep in mind, I want to be very clear about what I'm saying here. So what is now exempt from that? What are we, a person who, for example, a woman who doesn't know that some of her hair is showing, that would not nullify her prayer. Also, a woman who is unaware, like she doesn't know that that is part of her awrah and then it should be covered during the prayer, right? Because she is ignorant of that, inshallah ta'ala, that is not, would not nullify her prayer in that case. Also, I want to mention here, we don't want to, just like pajamas or anything else that was discussed, we don't want to be in the masjid being the haram police, meaning we're standing in the masjid telling everybody what to wear and what not to wear, right? That wasn't the intention of my original video. I hope that's clear with today's session as well. We don't want to be that person. We don't want to, because if we start analyzing everyone, the way they dress and the way they pray, we are human beings. We're always going to find something wrong. Just keep that in mind, right? Because we're human beings, none of us are perfect. So if I stood in the masjid, let's say I stood in the court of the masjid and I said, let me look at this guy's prayer. For sure, I'm going to find something. Oh, you know what? Maybe your ruku' wasn't straight enough. Maybe yani, when you were in sajda, your nose wasn't fully touching. You're always going to find something because no one's prayer is perfect. That's why we don't go to the masjid and start analyzing every single person and say, even dress, we could say, you know what? This is really not proper. Or that's not tight, that's too tight, or that's too loose, and so on and so forth. Especially when it comes to the tightness and looseness of clothing, you ask 10 different people about whether this clothing is too tight, you might get 10 different answers. Because what is considered tight and what is considered loose can even depend on what we are used to. For some people, something may be too tight. Other people, for another person, it may not be too tight. So I want to just clarify that, you know, with these questions, I have to say this, that we don't want to be that person, you know, that stands and just criticizes everyone. But if we're talking about for ourselves, right? And if we're talking about educating one another, then yes, the hair of a woman, right? The hairline, that part is, it should, yani the hair should be covered. That's considered part of the awrah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Okay, so I think I'm going to call it a day here. Wa'iyakum, people are saying, Jazakumullah khair. It's good to be here. Alhamdulillah, good to do these live sessions. As always, make sure you let people know to attend these sessions live, especially if you have questions, you can post your questions live. And if you have, you know, some comments, we can post these questions, post your comments live. As I mentioned in one of my earlier sessions, I don't do discussions and comments of my posts, right? So I don't get into arguments and things like that. But something like this, I think would be, for me, is great to have this discussion live. We can hear from one another. So alhamdulillah, it's good to have everyone here. Thank you so much for being with us. Wafikum barakumullah. Jazakumullah khair. Someone said, Brother Bilal can put off the fedora. Allahu alam. Allahu alam. I don't know if he can. Can you add necklaces and earrings to the earrings topic? Why not? We will add necklaces and we will add any other jewelry as well. How about that? We'll make it jewelry for men, right? We'll add earrings and jewelry for men. You know, what is considered okay, inshallah ta'ala. So before you leave, make sure you are subscribed to my channel, right? Make sure you have notifications on so you know when these live sessions start and I post other videos as well. Share this video with others. If you know someone who can benefit from this, go check out my other live sessions as well. A lot of things that we've covered. SubhanAllah, time flies. I didn't even realize how many live sessions we've done. I think we've done quite a few now, alhamdulillah. So check out some of the other live sessions as well. And I'll see you next week, inshallah ta'ala. Hope to see you next week in this live session. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Hope you all have a good rest of your day. And yeah, I'll catch y'all later. Take care. والله تعالى أعلم. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.